It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and also our YouTube page. Make sure you like and subscribe. We're now getting a chance to talk with Antonio Morales. He covers USC football for The Athletic. And obviously, we've talked about Caleb Williams nonstop since the NFL season ended. And this is the guy to talk to about what he saw from Caleb Williams in the last 2 years at USC. Welcome to the program, Antonio.
Thanks for having me, guys. You know, it's an exciting time for Chicago, number one pick in the draft. It doesn't come around, you know, very often. So looking forward to talking to you guys.
So sell a Bears fan on Caleb Williams, who's maybe unsure based on his personality, some of the things that they see through social media. What stood out to you about Caleb Williams with his time at SC the last 2 years?
I think from an on-the-field perspective, it's just the unique playmaking ability, the ability to make something out of nothing, and just the way he can throw with power and accurately on the run and on the move. It's just something you don't see in college very often. So just a kind of a rare talent and a rare skill set that you don't, that doesn't come along too often. So to me, that's what stood out watching him these past 2 years. Is I know 2023 didn't go as well as 2022. Part of that was coaching and everything that else that kind of fell apart around him. But I think the Bears with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore are set up for him to do well in his first year.
Now, he didn't talk to the media very much during his last year at USC, but how was he as a person to deal with, you know, around campus? What do his teammates say about him? What do we need to know about him off the field that kind of sold the Bears on Caleb Williams, the person?
Yeah, there's always been this talk about how is he as a teammate and stuff like that. I know the dynamics will be different in the NFL and in a pro locker room, but you never heard anything at USC. I think he replaced a pretty popular quarterback when he arrived at USC, Jackson Dart, who's at Ole Miss now, and Jackson Dart was loved by the locker room. But Caleb transitioned into the USC program really, really well. I think within like 2 or 3 months of when he got to USC is when he gifted the whole team Beats, because Beats by Dre is one of his NIL sponsors. So that was like one of the first things he did. And that transition kind of went pretty smoothly. And obviously they had success throughout that first year, and he kind of almost carried them to the college bowl playoff within his first couple months on the team. The reason they probably didn't go is because he hurt his hamstring against Utah. So they went from like 4-8 in 2021 to the doorstep of the playoff in 2023. And that was a very flawed roster. And obviously he won the Heisman that year. And when he went to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, he brought his entire offensive line with him. All the top six guys who played the most, he brought with him. So that was another thing that kind of won his teammates over. And so I don't think there's really any complaints about him as a teammate at USC. And I know there's always been the speculation in the draft process about how he'll be as a teammate in the NFL, but that's something we obviously have to wait and see.
Yeah, we've kind of discussed that because Jalen Johnson, the cornerback for the Chicago Bears, has kind of talked about that this offseason on podcasts about how, you know, Hollywood won't cut it in our locker room type of thing. And kind of like, he wasn't necessarily giving a warning to the player as Caleb Williams is coming in, but like he was just kind of saying, like, we all show up and we do our work. And from the coverage I've read that you've brought to The Athletic, it seems as if that's the type of player that Caleb Williams is. He brings flash to the football field, but outside of it, he's pretty serious about being a great football player, whether it be at the college level or also at the next spot in the NFL with the Bears.
Yeah, there's never been any question about his work ethic or anything like that or how much he cares. I know a lot of people point out the crying in his mom's arms after the loss to Washington, but I mean, that shows you how much he cared about that game. I think that game kind of ruled USC out of a Pac-12 title, and that's when he kind of let it all loose in terms of his emotions and things like that, because that's what he came back to do. They came up like a one half short last year of winning the Pac-12, and then this year they didn't get close, and that Washington game was kind of what knocked them out of it. And he worked for a whole offseason to try to win a Pac-12 title. And so I think you saw him kind of let out his emotions, but that just shows how much I think he cared about winning that and trying to have success this year and take USC back to where they want to be. And, you know, just like I said, there's never been any kind of concern about like, oh, is this dude putting in enough work? Is he studying enough? And all that other stuff. At USC, he seemed to do that just fine.
So you mentioned it too, the difference between the 2022 season where he won the Heisman and the 2023 season. For someone who doesn't follow USC and only watches like when they play Notre Dame, which they lost that game, or the Pac-12 championship game, which they weren't in this year. How much different was the roster from year to year? We know he obviously didn't have Jordan Addison, but from a offensive line standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, like how much of what happened this year in 2023, I guess last year in 2023, wasn't his fault?
There was obviously Jordan Addison, like you mentioned, you guys see him against the Vikings and stuff like that. It's obviously a big loss for that receiver room. I think we saw this year, the receiver room, those guys have struggled to get open a lot, which was surprising because Jordan Addison missed like four games the year before and they didn't struggle to get open. But this year they just had a lot of issues getting open. And the offensive line got progressively worse this past year. I think they lost an All-American left guard and Andrew Voorhees, who got drafted by the Ravens. And they lost an All-Pac-12 center and Brett Nealon. And they moved some guys over from the year before, but it just didn't work out that well. And so Caleb was running for his life a lot of the time. And he had to run around quite a bit in 2022, but not anywhere near as often as he was in 2023. So it was a mix of guys not getting open and him not having enough time to find guys. So just a lot of him freelancing and kind of improvising throughout a lot of the game. And then the running game wasn't as good either. So it's just like this trifecta of issues just around him that kind of led to the offense. The stats were good, but against some of the better defenses they played, like Notre Dame, UCLA, Oregon, it just wasn't anywhere near good enough. And we saw that against Notre Dame where it all kind of came together and he had the three picks in the first half and it was his worst game of his career. Now, I also think the scheme and the coaching, the play calling wasn't as good in 2023 as it was in 2022. You kind of saw them building that offense week to week and getting better and better. In 2023, it was just Caleb, bail us out, please, and make something happen. So I just think there was so much that fell apart around Caleb. Not to say Caleb played perfect. He had some issues. He had some critical turnovers. I was kind of careless with the ball sometimes, but I think I think he was putting a lot of pressure on himself because the defense was also so bad. They were giving up 40 points a game. There'd be games. I think there's like three or four games in his USC career where he scored 42 points and USC lost the game, which is kind of incredible. And I just think he was putting a lot of pressure on himself and everything else around him was kind of crumbling. And I think that's how we got the season we all saw from him this past year.
Yeah, and you know, some of the conversation that we've had in the last couple of months and kind of projecting out how Caleb Williams will fit with the Chicago Bears roster, a part of that conversation has been he freelanced so much the last 2 years, and especially last year at USC, that being on a team that actually has a good run game and also has some good wide receivers who can maybe help him out, that like going to the next level might be a little bit of a relief because he won't have to do everything. He won't have to bail out the Bears every single game because I think the conversation here in town is like this offense is up and coming and you have some veteran players who are reliable on this offense, two good tight ends, two good receivers. And like I said, the run game has been really good. So like, this idea that maybe Caleb Williams can come in and as a rookie kind of be more of like a game manager and then not have to worry about bailing out the team each week like he did at USC last year.
Yeah, I think that would help him a lot. Just because, like I said, he needs to play in structure. And I think he played a lot more in structure. He obviously had highlight plays and stuff in 2022. But I think if you look back at some of those games, he's playing a lot more on time. and within the rhythm of the offense than he did in 2023. And that obviously a large part of that is because the receivers were better, the offensive line was better. I think he might have been doing that in 2023 just out of the circumstances and everything that was happening. But like you said, I don't think he can't do it. I just think the situation needs to be there for him to do it. And I think he'd be willing to do it more often in the right circumstances.
We're having you on, obviously, to talk about Caleb Williams, but also dispel some of the talk around Caleb Williams that we hear from fans that are still kind of hesitant about Caleb Williams, right? And one of the conversations has been about his dad and his involvement. He doesn't have an agent. He's got like a team around him, but his dad is very involved, and that worries some fans in Chicago. How prevalent was his dad around the USC program? What kind of access did he have, and how did that affect how Caleb was in games?
He wasn't like at practice or anything. I think we saw him mostly on game days, like before and after games. You'd see him near the field and stuff like that. Not during games, but I think that's kind of when he was most prevalent, but he was involved a lot. I mean, I think he's been involved in Caleb's process, very involved, one of the more involved quarterback dads I've seen since I've covered college football. Obviously that was a very planned out process a very planned out, mapped out decision-making process. Even when he was coming to USC, I think Caleb even insinuated like him and his dad kind of got into some big arguments during that time in the transfer process when he was going from Oklahoma to USC about where he wanted to go and stuff. And Caleb said he kind of had to make his own decision. And so his dad's been very involved throughout the whole thing when it comes to Caleb and where he's going to go and what's going to happen there when he does get there and all that stuff. I'm curious to see how that works in the NFL and how that works in Chicago. It was interesting. I think that's one of the things I wanted to observe when Pro Day happened. Obviously, Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles made it a point to go see Carl Williams, his dad, at Pro Day and greet him and greet his mom as well and just meet the family. Just because there's been so much talk and so many rumors about Carl and everything like that. So I'm curious to see how that works in the NFL.
Everything that we've heard from the Chicago Bears side of things, like the reporting locally here in town and all the conversation, has been that Caleb has blown away everyone in the front office, everyone within the organization, that all of the stuff off the field, the combine interviews, the top 30 visit at Halas Hall here in Chicago, going out to dinner with some current players, every step of the way, he's checked the boxes. And that what we've heard is that locally, the people who are running the Bears are just blown away by how great he is off the field. Does any of that surprise you from what you saw?
Not really. I think once you talk to Caleb, I think he's a pretty impressive, kind of well thought out kid. And I just think it takes people on the outside a little while to get used to him. And why I think he's probably so polarizing for some is like he's like the modern face of NIL and this new wave of college football player who like hasn't had this much power before. And Caleb Williams isn't like afraid to exert that power or whatever leverage he has. He isn't afraid to, him and his family aren't afraid to exert it. Obviously like the Beats by Dre and all that stuff and the fashion shows and everything else that came with it. The Dr. Pepper commercials and all that stuff. It's just like Bryce Young obviously had the Dr. Pepper commercials and all this other stuff, but like, I think that was only for his like last year or two in school. Like Caleb Williams, someone who came up through like the whole NIL stuff, and he became the modern face of it for college football. He was making so much money in college last year. Probably the only person at USC who was probably making more money than Caleb Williams was Lincoln Riley. I think it's going to take some time for people to adjust to that, to where these college kids are getting paid and where they're having this power and leverage. So I think that's what makes him somewhat polarizing to some people. And obviously like painting the fingernails to say F Utah or F UCLA or F Notre Dame rubbed a lot of people the wrong way who probably weren't fans of USC. But I think that's that's kind of what's contributed to all the conversation that surrounds Caleb off the field.
Look, if he comes in and wins, you're going to have a bunch of dudes that paint F the Packers on their fingernails anyway. But you've covered college football. You mentioned it. Is this something that, like, I feel like it's with older college football fans and older NFL fans that don't understand that this is now kind of, I know Caleb's like a different circumstance, but this is more like the norm. Like, guys are going to come out with money. Like, they're going to have, they're making money in college. The best players that are taken in the top 10, top 15 of the draft are going to be coming from programs that have a lot of NIL money. They've got sponsorship deals, and that's just going to be the new world that we live in, where these first round draft picks are going to have money and be able to do things where it's not just like, oh, you better, like, because that was the talk around here earlier, is like, he might not want to play here or whatever, he might go back to USC because he's making more money. It's like, no, that's not how it works. But he is making a lot of money, and that might be the norm for college football players, especially in the first round going forward.
Yeah, we'll see it more next year too, with like Travis Hunter at Colorado and Shedeur Sanders, who's supposed to be a pretty high draft pick next year. Those guys are in big time high profile commercials with Deion. So they're getting a lot of money too. And the Ohio State guys that come in next year that were paid a lot to get returned to Ohio State this year, they're making a lot of money as well. So it's going to be more of the norm and more normal for people to come into the draft process with a lot of money and more leverage and things like that. And we're starting to see a little bit of it now, to where like a Marvin Harrison Jr. is so good and doesn't really have to worry about stuff, to where he can come and not really have to do any workouts or anything, or Caleb doesn't come or comes in and doesn't do any workouts. So we'll see more and more stuff like that, to where these guys have more resources and more leverage, and it'll be kind of interesting to watch. I think it'll take some time for people to adjust to.
You co-wrote a really good piece in December with Bruce Feldman about what went wrong at USC last season. And a quote that I've referenced many times in our conversations with fans and on radio shows about Caleb Williams is that there was a quote in there that Pac-12 coaches would arrive at the Coliseum and see the fashion show that the USC players would enter the stadium with, all wearing their different expensive clothes and the bags that they were carrying. And they would know that, like, we're going to win this game because this is a group of individuals. I, from an observer from the outside, have pointed to coaches maybe looking at Caleb because he had those crazy green shoes that he wore before one of the games. He had the Louis Vuitton bags. I assume that quote was talking about Caleb Williams, even though the quote was not a specific player. When you look at that team and why there was a bunch of individuals, is that more of a blame on Lincoln Riley, or does it point to the amount of money that Caleb was making in NIL? And it's just tough to kind of keep those individuals as part of a bigger team with the amounts of money that they're making now.
I don't think it was a thing directed at Caleb. There's a lot of dudes dressing up for those. I think for road games, they were wearing like team gear. And for home games, right, they wear whatever they want. And so I think that was more of just a thing directed to the team. And I sat down with Lincoln in November, and I was like, do you feel like you slipped anywhere this year in terms of team building, roster building, culture building? And he's like, yeah, I don't think anywhere was good enough. I think the 2022 team had a lot better cohesion and chemistry and culture than the 2023 team did. They brought in a lot of like high profile offensive linemen, transfers, defensive linemen, transfers to a lot of different spots. It's hard to build, sustain a culture like that year after year after year. The first year it worked really well and everything was kind of, sunshine and rainbows and it all worked well. And then this past year, as soon as they started to struggle a little bit and had some adversity, kind of things went south really fast. And we saw some of the guys they brought in last year have already left the program this offseason and haven't come back. So, and we've heard it from Lincoln a bunch about how he wants guys at USC who really want to be at SC. So I think that's something he took from last year. It's like maybe be less reliant on the transfer portal and bringing in like, not these mercenaries, but like these guys who are kind of maybe just came for NIL or whatever. and kind of focus on guys who want to be at USC more than, you know, the things around USC that they're coming for. So I think that's kind of colored Lincoln Riley's view towards building a roster and building a team now, after going through what they went through last year and kind of how the moment and all that stuff felt too big for them. So I think it was more of a team thing than a Caleb specific thing.
We all saw the plays that, you know, when he was at Oklahoma and came in off the bench and, you know, had the huge amount of touchdowns while he was at Oklahoma. When he came to USC, what's the one play that stood out to you where you were like, oh man, this kid's going to be different?
I think it was that Oklahoma run, obviously, where he comes in, supplants Spencer Rattler within like a couple plays. And then obviously at USC, there's just so many. I think the first Utah game, he played really, really well. There's one throw, I think, where he's getting pressured and he feels the pressure and then he steps up into the pocket and he, and this is like an example of him playing like within the structure of the offense, not like leaving the pocket too fast or anything. And then he throws like a dart on like 3rd and 11 to Jordan Addison. And I was like, man, this is just like, it was just really impressive. And, I think if you're hoping for Caleb to play within the structure, I think that's like a play you kind of look at from that first Utah game, and like say, hey, he can do it like this, then maybe it'll like he can do it more in the NFL than what he did last year at USC.
Last one before we let you go, Antonio. You're covering spring ball, USC. Next football season, they will be in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Are they ready for Big Ten football? I know Lincoln's made a lot of changes on the defensive side of with coaches and bringing in recruits, but boy, it's going to be a different beast in the Big Ten.
It sure is, and they still need a lot of help in the areas where the Big Ten teams thrive. They need some help on the offensive line. They need some help on the defensive line. The transfer portal opened today, so they're going to need some help on the defensive line. They're going to need some help on the offensive line, particularly the interior of the defensive line and at tackle on the offensive line. So those are big questions I have. Because right now, the way their team is built, it's going to be like a lot of young receivers and a new quarterback, and you're going to be putting a lot of pressure on them, especially in across a 9-game Big Ten schedule. Like, you need a running game. You need your lines to hold up, and you can't just like wing it every game. It's not going to be a long-term recipe for success. So they need a lot of help on both sides of the line. I think the new defensive staff could do really, really well, but they need some more pieces, some more talent to work with before I'm kind of completely sold on this team.
Thank you, Antonio. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys.